The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, however you're taking us in this morning. We sincerely appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It is Kelly Middleton, producer number nine. So much more than a producer. So much more. You good? How fun is it having Matt in first hour?
I love it. Well,
oh, great.
Yeah. Get the band back together.
Yeah, man. Just rolls by.
Chop up some NFL. It's always fun.
Chop it up. Still to come this hour, Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. We'll rehash all our picks here, Kelly and myself. And we'll also hear from Dr. Bob. He's got one college play and he's got one pro play coming up, I have just been told. So we look forward to that. But first, let me just read this tweet here as we ride into Felica. This is from Buddhist Man, who has like an image of Andy Cohen from Bravo clapping and saying, "I'm so excited." He said, "The Michigan fake controversy to open the show. Give the people what they want," he said. Well, let's see if Chris Felica thinks anything I said the first segment was ridiculous. We bring him in. He is the Bear from Fox Sports and the host of the Bear Bets Pod, both college and pro football versions, of course. And you can follow him Saturdays again. Find him Saturdays, of course, with Big Noon Saturdays on college football there on Fox. He joins us now, Chris Felica. How you doing, Chris?
Where do you want me to start with whatever something saying ridiculous? how long is this segment?
Yeah. Now, did I? Are you being tongue in cheek, or do you agree with everything
I
said?
I'm being very tongue in cheek.
Yeah.
Remember we were talking about the Michigan thing at the start, and at first I was like, "Nah, it's not a big deal." But I put the butt on there. And I have a hard time with some people who are kind of clumped, like Michigan threw out there the, well, people have our signs and exchange signs. Yeah. But what they did, there's a difference. There is a specific rule against going to a stadium and using a recording device from the stands to record the opposing sideline. Like, there is a specific rule against that. Like, they broke a rule. Like, what with the other stuff, it's like kind of like been going on and people have known about it. And if, like I say, if you're figuring out signals and people, yeah, that's part of the game. Like baseball, you're looking to try and steal pitching signs or third base coach signs. That happens. But the thing is, there is a specific rule against what Michigan did. And that's what I'm having a hard time. Like, people are trying to clump both together when they're really two separate, you know, like you always talk about like being able to hold like two thoughts. Like, people have a hard time like understanding like Michigan did one thing, what the other schools did is another. There's no rule against that, but there is with the Michigan thing. So like, ultimately, like, right, I think what will wind up happening, go ahead.
Yeah, sorry. Let me just interrupt for a second. So you're right, a rule was broken. But does that, a rule is a rule, right? But does that rule really like reflect something so much more horrible than what is done anyway? I guess because you see the signs on a week to week basis, you can dissect them or try to interpret them and study them, whatever. But they just happened to do it in a way that was that there was a rule against. And I'm not so, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not so sure that the crime is so horrible. I guess but I guess I'm alone in this. Not alone, but
yeah. No, clearly Michigan thinks it was worth doing because they had this, well, what they call low level staffer, whatever they wanted to call him, like right on the sideline next to their coordinators, basically telling the coordinator what was coming for games. So clearly they thought it was that important to do.
Okay. Does this matter? Does this matter, Chris? If Jim Harbaugh gets suspended for the next three games, that would include the Penn State game this week. That would include the Ohio State game, which always traditionally ends Michigan and Ohio State's regular seasons. Does it matter?
I think it would matter not having him on the sideline, but the same thing. He'll appeal it, right? There'll be an appeal or an injunction, and I would imagine he'll be on the sideline tomorrow. In state college, and then there'll be some type of hearing. So, I mean, who even knows if he's going to wind up missing time, because I'm sure there'll be some type of appeal process for a suspension. So we'll see. But I do think it would matter not having him on the sideline. So we'll see. Well, I don't know if you can really value how many points Jim Harbaugh would be towards the line. But I think not having him there certainly would matter, even though he has put together a really good staff.
Okay, so let's start with Michigan and Penn State tomorrow morning. This is where you guys are going to be. Michigan is a 4.5 point favorite at State College, one of the happiest places on earth. What do you think about this?
The first question that I asked myself when handicapping this game was ultimately, how many points do I think Penn State can realistically score? And I came up with somewhere around 17 to 20 tops. So I think the Penn State team total is 19 and a half out there. I know yesterday when I was recording the pod with Will and Sammy and Jeff, it was I was able to get a 20 and a half, but I would still go under 19 and a half because this feels like a 21-17 type of game where I just don't think Penn State's going to be able to score a bunch of points. I don't know if I would lay the 4.5 with Michigan. I would be inclined to take the 4.5 with Penn State if you had to take a side in the game. But the thing I'm most sure about is that Penn State is not going to score a bunch of points. But the same, I guess, could be said for Michigan because we talk about how great Michigan is. They haven't played Seoul. I mean, they've been dominant in every game, and that's great. But their schedule, they've played some of the worst offenses in the country, and we'll see tomorrow if Penn State at home can finally open things up and perform against a top 10 team.
One last thing about Michigan, because this I will agree on, or I do believe rather, if they lose to Penn State, or if they lose to anybody, but if they lose tomorrow to Penn State, that they will drop in a way in the rankings that they otherwise would not have without this, right? Without this scandal.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely. You know how petty pollsters and voters can be for awards and the polls. Yeah, they will plummet like a rock, and we'll see if it will be enough for them with the win over Ohio State to maybe get back in the but I'm glad you said that because it led me to think, like, if you like Penn State to win the Big Ten, play it now, and maybe it might even be a better price than playing Penn State on the money line tomorrow, because if Penn State wins tomorrow, like, they odds are they're going to hold the tie break because they played Iowa, and like, the tie break is like the opponent win percentage from the other division, and like, odds are Penn State's opponents are going to have the best combined record. So if Michigan were to beat Ohio State, that would probably put Penn State in the Big Ten championship game. So look around and see maybe if Penn State to win the Big Ten might be a better money line bet than Penn State outright tomorrow.
All right, two more questions real quick, because I know we only have 4 minutes here, so I want to get to all your picks. We'll stay in the Big Ten. Sunj, which you coined, the State University of New Jersey, Rutgers at Iowa. The total is 28. Still going under?
How can you go over? Like if you go back to last year, Iowa's had a game totaled under 38 eight times. Seven of them have gone under, and five have seen 23 or fewer points scored. Like, you can't put these totals low enough. There's not a chance in the world I would consider going over in this game.
Yeah, I don't think you can. All right, what about last one before we get to yours? Ole Miss and Georgia. What are your thoughts there?
I kind of like Georgia here, laying the number. I think this might be a game where Georgia puts the A game, the Kentucky effort, like we saw the one time they showed up and played a great four quarters of football this year, was that hearing scuttlebutt that maybe Brock Bowers might be back. I'm going to try and confirm that at some point today. But I would lean towards laying the points here with Georgia if I had to indeed play a side. Whereas in the other SEC, Biggie in Lexington, I would lean towards taking Kentucky plus the points just because I think Alabama trying to get up 3 weeks in a row for Tennessee, then LSU, and now on the road against a Kentucky team where it looks like maybe Devin Leary's getting healthy, and a Kentucky team that's got a good defense. I think that might be the right side there.
Yeah, back to the Georgia thing. If you do read the tea leaves, as they say, it does appear that Brock Bowers might show up for this one. All right, you got 3 minutes. What do you got? What are your favorite bets of the week?
I lay 14 and a half with UTSA against Rice. Since Frank Harris has come back for UTSA, they have been absolutely dominant, 36 points in every game, four wins by at least 14 points. This is a Rice defense that has struggled against a lot of the better teams they face. I know they've only been blown out and beaten double digits twice this year, but this might be another spot for Rice to lose by two touchdowns. So I laid the 14 and a half with UTSA. I took Old Dominion plus 13 and a half against Liberty. I know Liberty has been great against the number this year, and they haven't lost yet. But ODU's actually got a chance to get to 6 wins. And while I think asking them to go to Liberty and win might be a little bit too much, remember, they lost by a field goal at JMU, lost by a field goal to Wake, a one-score game at Marshall, lost by 4 to Coastal. Like, Ricky Rodney's team's been a tough out all season. So I grabbed 13.5 with ODU just for prerogative, just because I had to take UCF with the 2.5 against Oklahoma State. With the Cowboys coming off the Bedlam win last week, UCF finally got their win. Oklahoma State 5 straight wins, 4 as an underdog. But I think going to Orlando here in the role now of a short favorite, UCF is a much different team with John Rhys Plumlee, a quarterback, and they probably could have easily won in Norman. They had that 2-point conversion that they missed. I laid 14 with UNC against Duke. No Riley Leonard. That Duke team has massive issues at quarterback without him. So Drake May's final home game. UNC has beaten them handily 2 out of the last 3 years. I think that will be the case again here to kind of get the bad taste out of their mouth in recent games. And then the last one was Charlotte plus 10 against Memphis. Charlotte's coming off its best offensive performance of the year. Granted, it was against Tulsa, but their defense, I was talking to Jeff Schwartz about this yesterday, like defensively, they've got, from AAC standards, they got a decent defense. And I know Memphis is offensively one of the better teams in the league, but Memphis's defense is terrible, allowing 28 points a game, 50 and 42 the last couple of weeks. I think the Charlotte defense will do a good enough job at home, and the offense will be able to hang in there just enough to cover 10 against the Tigers.
All right, I need a one-word response. I think I know the answer. More likely to lose outright, Florida State to your alma mater, Miami, or Washington to Utah?
Washington.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what I thought. Chris Velika, everybody, at Chris Velika from Fox Sports. Thank you, sir. Oh, man. Well, we cut him off already. Dr. Bob on the other side. He's got picks. That's next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today, why don't you? Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st for only $120. That's at VSiN.com/subscribe. VSiN.com/subscribe. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D. And at this time, each and every week, we love to bring in my old friend from our San Francisco days. He no longer lives in San Francisco, nor do I. He's outside of Denver. It's the great Dr. Bob from Dr. Bob Sports. How you doing, Bob?
I'm good, Gil. How are you guys?
Doing very well. You came on the show last week. We were just talking about this off air. Your lifetime record on this show is spectacular. Last week, not as fun. Not as fun last week.
No, yeah. Lifetime, 96-71-2 on the college picks, college or NFL picks up going out on the show. But last week, 0-3. Yeah, that happened. I had a couple week heater in the NFL, as you know, because you get to play. I had 12 straight best bet wins last week, 1-2. And one of those was the ones I gave on the show, the Carolina. They deserve to lose. But 2 pick sixes is the reason I didn't cover the teaser. 1 pick six, that's fine. Teaser wins. 2 pick sixes, tough to overcome that in a teaser. So
yeah,
we move on.
We move on. Let's start with your college play. Now, this will be of a lot of interest to a lot of folks who work here at VSiN, namely our buddy Kelly Wyatt Tomchek, who is a UNLV alum and who wears nothing but UNLV swag every single day when he's in
here. Does play-by-play for some of the
does play-by-play.
Teams. Not the football team, but yeah.
No, but he does women's hoops.
Yeah, women's basketball. Yeah. Yep.
He's their play-by-play guy. Let's see if Bob will make him happy here. UNLV, this is tonight, by the way. This is a Friday night game.
Yeah, they're down to 3.5. Line just moved down to 3.5. And I like UNLV. I think the line's moving the wrong way. Wyoming is... you know, they're a solid team. They have a good defense. It's a little bit better than average, but their offense is terrible. Not like UNLV's got a great defense. They don't. But UNLV's defense being 0.6 yards per play, worse than average, is still better than Wyoming's offense, which is 0.9 yards per play, worse than average. And on the other side of the ball, UNLV has been a much different team since Jaden Maivis taken over at quarterback. First three games with Brumfield started, and he was dreadfully bad. Miami's come in and they've been very, very good. UNLV is 8-1 against the number. And one of those was a game against Colorado State. And I actually liked Colorado State a little bit in that game. So that one didn't surprise me. And they've been a covering machine. Underrated, I think, with Miami at quarterback. They lost their best defensive player midseason. They had a couple bad defensive games. They've really come around the last three games. They've kind of figured out how to play defensively without their top guy. He may be coming back soon, hopefully. But I just think from a yards per play perspective, these teams are pretty even. The difference is Wyoming has a lot of three and outs, and they have a negative 11 play differential. They only run 58.4 plays per game on offense, and they give up 70 plays per game on defense. I mean, there's some variance in that, obviously. But a lot of it is just because they have a lot of three and outs. And UNLV is positive in play differential because they're one of those teams that kind of matriculates the ball down the field, as they say. they like to run it, even though they're not particularly good at it. And when they need a first down, Maiva finds a way to get a first down, either with his legs or with a nice short pass. So the Rebels are a team that kind of controls the ball. Wyoming doesn't. So the play differential should be significant in the Rebels' favor. Also, a little bit of hidden yards. I don't think this is really in the line. Rebels have about a 3-point edge in special teams. They're plus 6.3 in net punting average. They're plus 2.1 in net kickoff yard line average. And they have an All-American place kicker. I mean, he's made 19 of 20, and he's 1.5 points better than an average kicker. So he adds value there. I think UNLV should be favored by about 7 points in this game. The line's 3.5. So I good value here. So UNLV's a play.
UNLV trying to get to 8-2. Their only two losses this year at Michigan and at Fresno State. No shame in either of those. Quietly.
Yeah, they covered it. They covered both of them.
Yeah. Quietly having a great year. By the way, do you know the origin of matriculate the ball down the field, Bob? Do you know the historical origin of that?
That seems like something I learned as a kid watching the NFL film.
That's correct. That's exactly right. Hank Stram, coach of the Kansas City Chiefs, Super Bowl four.
Super Bowl four
gets the bike. That's exactly right.
Come on,
right.
Boys. Let's matriculate that ball down the field. Come on, boys.
Come on, boys. That's exactly right. And you think any of his players are like, matriculate? What the hell is he talking about?
Matriculate.
That's not what that means.
Someone went to college, yeah.
All right, NFL. We have not even touched upon this game at any point yet. This is the Germany game this week. You like something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like New England. And, New England has, not looked great. But the Colts are not particularly good either. And I think it's just a really good matchup. Colts offense has been a little inconsistent. And this is just not a great matchup for them. The Patriots blitz a lot, third highest blitz rate in the league. Gardner Minshew is a big difference in his expected points added versus the blitz, negative 0.27 per play against the blitz, positive 0.13 EPA per play against the standard pass rush. So with New England blitzing a lot, Minshew not great against the blitz, that's a problem. Minshew also has the highest turnover-worthy play rate, according to Pro Football Focus. It hasn't really shown up that much, but Patriots are pretty opportunistic, so I think they should get at least a pick this week. And Minshew is going to be without his most efficient receiver, Josh Downs, aggravated his knee last week. He's 10th in the league in expected points added per target, so they'll be missing him. Colts like to run the ball. They have the sixth highest run play rate adjusted for the situation. Patriots are third in defensive rush success rate. So I don't think the Colts are going to have much success offensively. And on the other side of the ball, this is a good matchup for New England. Mac Jones has the second largest gap in the league between his yards per attempt against zone versus man. And the Colts play 92% zone, which is the top, highest in the league. The perfect matchup for New England. The Colts are down to their fifth corner. Daryl Baker, I mentioned him a couple weeks ago when they played the Saints. I was on the Saints that game. Baker's horrible. He's 73rd out of 79th in qualifying cornerbacks and yards per cover snap allowed. And he'll be up against Devontae Parker, who's coming back this week after missing last week's game. Not only does the model like the Patriots, the model favors them by 3.8. The situation is good. And Belichick off two losses. Very good. 15-3 against the number from dog to -7 off back-to-back losses. not a great favorite by more than seven back in the day after back-to-back losses, but still pretty good. And it's 5-1 against the spread the last two seasons with Mac Jones at quarterback after back-to-back losses. So this goes back a long way and it's continued to work well. Don't take the Patriots if they're not off back-to-back losses. I think they're on an 0-11 spread run if they're not off back-to-back losses. But when they are off back-to-back losses, that's when Belichick kicks it into gear, I guess. So I like New England for a variety of reasons.
You know, it's interesting. We should probably follow up on stuff because we talk about things, narratives, when we talk about our handicapping. And then sometimes we never even follow up when it something that we keep an eye on doesn't continue. And I'm talking about travel. Right. So when we were talking about travel to London, we had focused on the team that had traveled there first, like in the case of the Ravens, the week that they went there. John Harbaugh had it planned. The Ravens immediately traveled to London. They end up winning that game. But then last week, the Chiefs were the team to go to Germany last, like much, much later than the Dolphins did. And the Chiefs came out smoking in that game. So that narrative immediately disappears. New England, by the way, for those scoring at home, left yesterday to get to Germany. Do you care about any of that kind of stuff, Bob?
Not normally. It's too much of a small sample size in those games, and there's been some mixed results. Baltimore did it because the last time they went to England, they left later and got killed. So this time they left really early and brought their entire operation over, like everything. They brought everything they could over to make it as much like, you know, practicing at home. So, you know, they just changed, you know, because they had such a bad experience the last time when they didn't leave early. So I think it's, you know, I don't think it's enough to factor in. It's not going to keep me off a game because they left later than another team or put me on a game because they left earlier. There's not enough sample size to really know.
Yeah, I think that's true. Last question. We have a minute. The team that has flummoxed you the most in the NFL from your rating standpoint to their results, either to the good or to the bad this year so far, has been which team?
Oh, God, maybe Buffalo, just a weird team. I mean, they should be better than they are. They still rate pretty high in my mind, you know, forward-looking metrics. And, you know, what are they, 5-4? I mean, they're just, you know, they're a team that I think is going to be better down the stretch than they've played. So it's kind of been like a little puzzling why they haven't been better. Part of it's obviously the defense is banged up,
injuries, yeah.
But they've, you know, a little bit, but they still should be better than they are. And I think they will be down the stretch.
Okay. As good an answer as any. Bob, appreciate it as always. Thank you so much.
All right. All right, guys, have a good weekend.
The great Dr. Bob Swartz. You too, Dr. Bob. Dr. Bob Stoll at Dr. Bob Sports. Also on the old super, the information superhighway, as they used to call it, at drbobsports.com. Do you remember that was a thing? Jason Weingarten from under a cloud of smoke. All his bets next. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget on DraftKings Sportsbook this week, new customers can bet $5 and pocket $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all customers can get a no-sweat same-game parlay every day. Download the app and use the promo code VEGAS when you sign up. That's promo code VEGAS. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, live from Bar Canada at the D here in downtown Las Vegas. Tony tonight, Kelly.
Oh, that's tonight, finally?
Oh, I'm so pumped.
You've been talking about this for like a month now, at least.
One of the most underrated artists since the 90s, I'll say. All 90s right. R&B, baby.
I like it.
We get tweets at Beating the Book. Steve Bowling, talking about the Megapod yesterday, said, "You're the man, Todd. You and Gil, blanking hilarious." A lot of expletives going today. A lot of expletives. Todd and I have a good time. Will Hill is actually funnier than the both of us combined. Got to bring that out in him. And then, of course, our rotating guests. The guests on the Megapod this year have been so fantastic. Las Vegas Chris, the latest of those. But everyone.
Legends. Most of the guys that you roll through there are legends.
Well, I mean, but they have been so good. They don't just sit there and rest on their laurels. Steve Fezzik, Adam Chernoff, Wes Reynolds, Aaron Schatz, Eric Eager, Rufus Peabody, Drew Dinsick, Dr. Bob, Matt Brown, Las Vegas Chris. Those have been the guests thus far this year. And each one of them has been so interesting in their own way. So hopefully, in coming weeks, we'll get some of our regulars on there, including the great Brent Musburger. I haven't asked him yet, but we'll see if he'll do it again. He comes on every year. Maybe Cleve TA, maybe a little Pritch, maybe a little Humans, maybe a little Pizzola. I don't know. We'll see. See what's happening. Maybe a little Bidlin. I don't know.
I dig it.
Your schedule's so busy, though. You even have time to do a Megapod? You're like, oh, I can't do that.
Maybe. Gil.
Sorry, Gil. Can't do that. Assistant U.S. Attorney Derek something or other at Jerry Westgate. Sorry, Derek, your name cuts off there. He said, you know, Gil, I think Todd's got a lot better this year on the Megapod as far as the interrupting. Maybe it's because you unleashed the F-bombs, but he's improved. He really has. He's been fewer interruptions. Chris Heath, I still have the Cowboys, Ravens, and Steelers available for my last Survivor entry. Do I get cute and save Dallas? If you're in Circa, I think you have to save Dallas. Because Dallas is also, Dallas and Detroit, it's not only Thanksgiving, it's the week before Thanksgiving where you can use them as well, the Sunday before Thanksgiving. Judd O'Connor, remember when the Rams won in 2021 and had that midseason lull? Are we witnessing that again with the Niners? A few losses, then bam, five straight. I think you're right, by the way. I do think that that's an interesting parallel. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, he comes to us from under a cloud of smoke. When he was with us on Wednesday, he was fantastic. Told us a couple of his betting stories, including when the only thing he needed to withstand in a Malaysian women's basketball game was not to have the other team go win the fourth quarter 28-0, when that's in fact exactly what happened. It's the great Jason Weingarten at Spreadopedia on Twitter. How you doing, Jason?
Pretty good. You know, always interesting stuff. You want to hear an example of the interesting things that happened in my life yesterday?
Why, yes, we do, Jason.
I'm at the post office mailing packages like one does, like a normal person.
Like one does.
Guy behind me just starts having a heart attack, keels over.
Come on.
Let me tell you, the worst place you could possibly have a heart attack is a U.S. post office. I've never seen a group of employees more indifferent, you know, more indifferent to somebody literally keeling over dying.
Did he
do not have a heart attack at a U.S. post office is my advice.
That is your pro tip of the hour.
Pro tip of the hour.
Pro tip of the hour, ladies and gentlemen. Did he really pass away?
Oh, no. I don't know if he died. The paramedics came and
all right.
I know, good. I timed it. It was like 7 minutes because I wanted to do some analysis. Like if I was to keel over, how long would it take the paramedics to come? 7 minutes. I don't know. Is that good? Is that bad? I'm thinking it's kind of on the bad side. Every minute counts.
This is actually a thing. So this is a true story. So me, Mark Meltzer, like Seltzer, man about town, who was on the Vegas Lifestyle Annual Megapod. Me, Mark Meltzer, and Marco D'Angelo. This is years ago. We were at the Palms. We're at the Palm Restaurant. Pardon me. The Palm Restaurant, DC Stable, but it's in the Forum Shops. It's right outside of Caesars. Literally like a putt away from where the casino begins.
Right.
And we were sitting at the bar, and this lady to my left, in the middle of us eating, slowly leans over and falls into my lap. And they had to call the paramedics. Like she had been drinking outside at the pool all day or whatever, and she was done. They called the paramedics, or they called, I don't know, but when you call them outside of the casino, like literally 20 feet outside of the casino in the Forum Shops where the Palm is, it took the paramedics 30 minutes to get there.
Really?
30 minutes. So me, Mark, and Marco made a pact that day that if any of the three of us ever keel over at the Palm, that the other two will drag us into the casino so that we will get an instant care 1 minute later.
I had a friend go down in a casino here in town. Yeah. Oh, the in-house
instantaneous
people were there, and it's a major strip casino. They were there in 2 minutes. I couldn't believe how quick
we actually had this conversation. If any of us, this is our pact, if any of us goes down, you drag me through the mall into the casino. Jason, thank you for sparking that memory. I appreciate it. Pro tips.
Yeah, I'm just telling you, man, don't do it at a post office. The guy literally just kept ringing up my packages while the guy's, you know, just killing over in front of us. But
the other thing, and this is also gets into the area of morbidity where we're embarrassed for ourselves. But we had this debate, remember, on Wednesday where you know, Jason thinks John Metchie should be the favorite for comeback player of the year. And he sort of poked fun at you because you said he's only got 7 catches. Oh, so let the record show that Kelly Bidlin says 7 catches is not enough to come back from cancer. And I think I openly ruminated, or you did, or one of us did, like, oh, what is the actual statistics between, you know, a cardiac event versus cancer. That was you, Jason. I'm sorry. We literally had one of our listeners throw the stats back at us. And then I just felt terrible that we've gotten to the point where we're handicapping something.
Well, which one is it?
You want to know the answer? I got to look it up. Yes, I got to find it.
I do want to know the answer. Yeah.
But it was
cardiac arrest was the way lower rate of survival.
Way lower rate of survival. Well, I'll find it. But literally, like, if we get to the point where we're handicapping betting markets with that kind of...
I don't even want to be doing it.
Gil, I'll tell you about my new angle off air for women's sports. I can't even bring it up on air. It'd probably get us all fired.
Please don't do that.
Imagine the things I can't even talk about that I think about.
But it is like
can we just have an inside Jason's head show? Let's just do that. Inside.
It would be canceled so quickly. It would be canceled by the second commercial break.
That's right.
I think as we talked more about that award though, the past couple days, I just think it's such a clumsy award where I don't even think the voters really know what they should be looking at or what they are looking at.
In fact, remember we had Aaron Schatz. Aaron Schatz, Jason, is one of 50 voters for all of the AP awards. So everything but executive of the year, we learned that he is one of the 50 voters for all of those things. And we didn't get enough time to talk to him about comeback player of the year, but I texted him and I said, what are your thoughts on comeback player of the year? And he couldn't commit. He's like, well, I mean, Hamlin, I guess, but I don't know. It's tough. Right. Like even
what's Josh Dobbs doing on that list? Is Josh Dobbs come back from something?
8-1. Yes. Well, Josh.
Thanks, Jason. I asked that one when we have.
Well, but I think Josh Dobbs' story is very unique. I don't think he's going to win it, right? I'm the guy who screamed at Kelly in the summer. I'm like, he didn't die on the field, right? Like, I'm the guy who was like, it has to be Hamlin. So for me, it's Hamlin. But Josh Dobbs.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, Baker Mayfield has no chance. Yeah,
coming back from anything.
No, I don't know. Baker Mayfield, Breece Hall. I get it. Breece Hall was hurt, but they're not winning anything. It's going to be Hamlin. Like you see how much we're putting into this subject.
Right.
I bet you the 50 voters are just going to be like Hamlin.
And at the end of the day, because you've said this so many times before, at the end of the day, it's whatever we all feel about this just doesn't matter because you have to handicap what the voters think about it.
And the voters don't know what they think.
Yeah.
So anyway, Jason, what have you in pocket here for week 10 or anything else in betting?
Raiders again, Raiders versus Jets. I think, we've seen Zach Wilson and I am not impressed by Zach Wilson. So they're going to keep trotting him out and I'm going to keep betting against him. I think the Seahawks -6.5. You could still get that -115 or better. Might see that game close 7. I think the Commanders played well enough to beat the Patriots last week. I don't think they're going to do well traveling, cross country to Seattle. And I think, Seattle at home laying 6.5 against an average Commanders team is a good spot. Sorry, Gil.
That's all right. That's cool.
And then we got this Giants Cowboys games. You're getting 17 points. You're getting 10-1 with the Giants. 10-1. That's the biggest dog of the year. I'm not saying play the Giants. I'm just pointing out that's the biggest
year. I just wanted to point it out. That's great.
But you never get a division opponent and 17 points. I think I'm probably going to force myself to bet the 17. I will not watch a minute of this game.
Don't do it.
But come on, you're giving me 17 points.
Don't do it.
Am I crazy?
A little bit. I wouldn't do it.
A little bit. If you want to take Cowboys, take them in the first half or something, but 17 points, like a division game, I'm taking the 17.
Jason, if you do that show like inside the brain of Jason Weingarten, I would like the film option on that if you would allow me to.
I would do it. I mean, we could pitch it to Bill. Tell Bill to green light it. I'm in.
That's right. Let's do it. Maybe a segment and a half history, length of time that'll always be there, but we'll always have that segment and a half before it's canceled. Jason.
We'll talk.
Jason's serious. He wants to do this. All right. Jason,
have a good weekend.
You too, man. Always a pleasure. Jason Weingarten, everybody. At Spreadopedia on the old Twitter machine. Kelly and I will rehash our bets. Kelly hasn't even had the chance to give his bets out. We'll do that next. NFL Week 10. Numbers Game Visa. The Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand for VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, betting guides, plus 24/7 video access. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now and get access to everything we do through May 1st. For only $120 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Wow, all the way through May 1st. You believe we're halfway through football season, man?
Jeez. That's wild. I know.
You kind of
November, like when football season gets here, like arrives every year, does it just feel like, it feels like October never exists. Like somehow we just jump from
so true.
Like beginning of September to November.
Like it's about to be Thanksgiving. How did that happen? Anyway, let's enjoy it while we can. Here.
Thanksgiving morning.
Yes, we will.
We'll be right.
Yes, we will.
Actually, we won't be right here. We'll be over at Circa for Thanksgiving.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that.
I just learned yesterday.
All right. Well, you might want to remind me on my way in that morning.
Cause Wyatt, make note of this, please.
Otherwise, I'd be like, where is everybody? I thought we were working. You said something so funny off air about the Jason segment. By the way, we get tweets at Baiting the Book. Let me just read these first. This is from Titans Insider. Saved Dallas in my Survivor after being a survivalist with the Bears last night. Oh, wow. That takes some onions right there. Good for you. Joe Nigro, to keep up with the Billy Walters and Long Shots promos, maybe hire Jackie Moon to promote the Megapod as he did wonders for the Mega Bowl. I don't know that reference.
That would be from whatever movie he was, Semi-Pro. That's what it was called.
That's
yes.
Old school. That's before our time, right?
No. It's the Will Ferrell. Ferrell.
That's a remake.
Yeah. Actually, I didn't even know if it was a remake.
Wasn't it like a Burt Reynolds, Chris Christopherson kind of thing in the 70s?
I didn't know that.
Los Vegas 514. Yo, does it really never rain in Southern California? Try to sing in harmony. Enjoy the show. Man. What's your favorite Tony jam, Kelly? It's got to be Lay Your Head on
My
Pillow.
It feels good.
Is that the only one you know?
It's like the only one I know.
Yeah. Lay Your Head on My Pillow. Although those Sadiq solo jams are phenomenal, too. Anyway, Las Vegas Chris, talking about the Megapod, he goes, yes, once you start my program, it opens up a whole other world of perspective. We were challenging Las Vegas Chris on bets he likes to make, but it was interesting. Alan Mitchell, after this segment with Jason, he goes, I'm wondering how long before you do a segment from a hospice center, hashtag heart attacks. Tom from Pittsburgh, yesterday on a major network, the name Adam Thielen was dropped as comeback player of the year. Fascinating stuff. Just stop it.
What?
Stop it. Stop it, mainstream media. And Chris Velika, the Bear, this show has to happen, talking about what Jason said, Jason's Justin, inside the mind, or that's kind of me, inside the mind of Jason Weingarten. Has to happen. Yeah, that would be something else. You were saying, well, what you said off air was so funny, though, because you're like, as funny as Jason's segments are, he is unaware of what the funniest part is.
There's always a part of it that I find funnier than what? No, I don't want to say funnier.
We'll give an example. On Wednesday, when he, you know, it's like, oh, well, the only thing that could beat us was 28-0 in this Malaysian women's basketball game, and it was 28-0. But the funniest part was... It was him at the end going, I don't even know if the game happened.
He's the guy that was like, I saw it on the book. I don't even really know if it happened.
I don't even know what happened.
I mean, this one, it was just how it started. So I was in the post office yesterday with multiple things to ship. And I'm like, I could not even tell you the last time I had to go to the U.S. post office.
Who goes to a post
office? To mail something. Yeah.
You never had a large item that you needed to?
I mean, yes, but it's been years.
All right.
Jason. And I don't know, like, I haven't been there twice in the past decade. Apparently, that's for sure.
Apparently Jason hangs out. By the way, if you ask me, of all your guests, who do you think would be the most likely to be at a post office regularly? I'd be like, Jason. I wouldn't even take it 5 seconds to answer. Jason. Okay.
Yeah, that's probably fair.
You have not had a chance to give your plays, although we did hear some of them because you were Oppo Matt on a couple.
Semi-Tough? That was the movie, I guess, with Bert?
Oh,
I got
semi-tough and semi-pro mixed up?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Okay, NFL for me. So Seahawks, I laid the 5.5. There are a lot of mine that, look, injuries have not gone my way, so I don't know if I'd be playing here today. I got Seahawks at 5.5. Obviously, you're seeing 6.5 now. DK Metcalf questionable. Missing practice yesterday. Lockett missed practice, I believe, on Wednesday, but that was more of just a rest day. There's been some funky stuff going on with the wide receivers and them trying to rest these guys. So I think the injury reports, like we talked about with Matt, you can't fully trust. If this is a game, this is a game now at 6.5. Just watch DK Metcalf. I wouldn't be betting this if DK Metcalf isn't out there. Lions, I just bet on the opener at a pick 'em. There was one shop here in Vegas that gave out a pick 'em. But as we talked about with Matt, though, I would still be betting this. If I only had an option to lay 3, I'd still be betting it at 3. It will be a contest play for me. I really like that one this week as well. I know that's a popular opinion, though, amongst people. Texans, Bengals, over 46.5. Matt on the under here. This is another one where I think, look, all the injuries that have racked up on both offenses have kind of burnt this. I bet it on Monday. I think Bob, like you said, Bob did too. And, you know, the next day, T. Higgins goes down with a hamstring injury in practice. He's going to be out for the game now. Ja'Marr Chase, you don't know how much he's going to be able to do with that back injury. Looks like he's going to play through it. I think he's going to end up playing more than most people think, but still a little concern there. And then the Texans have their own wide receiver issues as well. Neither one of these defense, though, is shut down. And that was one of the biggest things where the quarterbacks are heating up, both Stroud and Burrow. Neither one of these defenses is stellar, at least. They're at middle of the pack, basically, both of them. So went over in that one. And then the one, Titans-Buccaneers, over 38. This two defenses where, look, they could do pretty well against the run. They stop the run. They tend to give up some big plays in the pass game. Do I think this is going to be a smooth-moving offensive game on both sides? No, Gil, but do I see a Baker Mayfield to Mike Evans for 50-yarder as a possibility? Will Levis to DeAndre Hopkins for 50-yarder? Yes, I think there's going to be some big plays in this. And I went over that really, really short total of 38.
Okay. By the way, I'm
I don't know why I went from bottom to top on those.
That's all right. That's cool. That works. If I were still alive in Survivor, which I am not, and haven't been for a long time, I still would only have had that one loss, the Commodores losing to the Bears on that Thursday night. This was my Bengals week. And I'm trying to put myself in what my brain would be had I still been alive in this thing with all these injuries that we're talking about to the Bengals. And God, would I be terrified this week?
Yeah.
But I'd have to play them because I've already used Buffalo. I would have already used Baltimore, and I'm saving Dallas.
Well, okay, so let's hit on that real quick. Dallas, just even remove that.
Yes.
If you had to go, so what, Baltimore, Seattle, Cincinnati, right? Or those are our three biggest favorites?
I would, yeah.
I mean, you have injury concerns right now with Cincinnati and Seattle that I think are pretty significant.
I would have already used Seattle in at least one of my remaining two also. So, like, I just didn't have that. The Bengals were the team for me. So that's the thing with Survivor, right? Like, you can, the best plans, what's the phrase, right? Just absolutely, you know, with this now, it's injuries can get you, and it's multiple injuries here, especially at wideout, cluster injury. So
if you had to, you're in someone else's shoes and you got all those available this week, where are you going?
If I had all those available, yeah, I'd still save Dallas. I'd probably play Baltimore.
Okay, so you'd go Baltimore over Cincinnati, Seattle. Okay. I don't know if a lot of people
would. Buffalo would be tempting against Denver.
Oh, I forget about Buffalo. By the way, I'm glad you brought that up. So, and I think Bob was interesting on it there, too, because we've heard.
Yeah, that was an interesting answer.
Well, I think he's approaching it right in my mind.
The team that has flummoxed him the most is the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, because I think that we've talked to Aaron Schatz, talked to Eric Eager, we both know are extremely analytical driven. They're looking at a lot of that. That's why they like him, like that team. What I don't think is taken fully into account there, though, is the health of Josh Allen, which that's my concern, and I'm wondering if that's where Bob's a little concerned with it, too.
Well, what you're referring to with Schatz and Eager is when I ask about MVP, they both, before you could even finish the sentence, they're like, Josh Allen. I was like, wow, really?
Yeah.
Mine, by the way, in case you missed it, I have these in pocket. These reflect my guessing lines, initial instincts. I got the Vikings in the betting account +3, -128. I think they have the better quarterback. I really do. They're at home. I get it. They have injuries, but I'll take the 3. I don't think the Saints should be 3-point road favorites against a team like the Vikings. Steelers, I bought it down to 3. You can actually, grab that now as well. I have -3, -123, them hosting the Packers. I don't buy into this Packers love that I'm feeling after last week. I think the Packers beat one of the worst coached teams in recent memory in the Rams. And so I think the Steelers veteran defense is actually going to wreak havoc on Jordan Love. And then I got the Cowboys. I laid the wood at -16.5 hosting the Giants. Now, as far as what's going to be pick four and pick five, did anything on today's show, like did Matt Brown's talk about the Ravens coupled with Aaron Schott saying they're the third best team of all time through 9 weeks make me want to lay the points with the Ravens in the contest? Maybe. Did Dr. Bob's plea or case for the Patriots in Germany make me want to make them one? The answer to that is I don't think so.
I can't do that. I can't touch that game.
Yeah, I can't touch it. Can't do it.
I think I'm with you, Ravens. I'll probably end up on it.
I think so, too. We've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Good luck with all your bets this weekend.